It's Lake Effect from WUWM.
Everything around domestic violence and abuse requires confidentiality, privacy, and safety. And while we follow safer at home orders to slow the spread of COVID-19, home may not be a safe place for people living with abuse. Across the globe, lockdowns have increased the danger for women forced to stay at home with their abusers. Going to work used to serve as an escape and a safe place, but now a lack of privacy at home means people are less able to reach out for help undetected. Children home from school are also now more exposed to trauma. While following social distancing is a critical need during a global pandemic, so is operating a women's shelter. Angela Mancuso is the executive director of the Women's Center in Waukesha County, and she says while they've had to work around significant obstacles, they're still here to help. She joins me now, and I start our conversation by asking her how she felt when she heard the Safer at Home order as the leader of a women's center serving survivors of domestic abuse and sexual violence.
Well, a lot of anxiety and a lot of concern. I mean, you know, with the Safe at Home order, what will happen with individuals who were perhaps already living in an abusive environment, and now they are literally trapped with their abuser. And we're also really concerned about children. So children who could go to school and had after school activities were getting a little bit of a break and some safe space from their abuser. And, you know, if their abuser is a family member. So we're really concerned about that. And really, we operate a shelter. I mean, it's a critical need right now. And there's a lot that goes into operating a shelter during a global pandemic. You know, so we all just had a flood of emotions and feelings as to how we are going to meet the needs of all those who need us in a safe, healthy way.
Right. So is your shelter still a place where people can go in an emergency?
It is, absolutely. So we've adapted and adjusted how we do all of our programming. What we have operating is our 24-hour hotline, our shelter, and we're doing our counseling and advocacy remotely. So we're doing a lot of that over the telephone. And, you know, we're still doing the rape crisis response or the SANE responses to the hospitals that are allowing advocates to come in. Some are not allowing that, and some, but they are allowing us to talk on the phone with that victim. So, you know, and almost every week we have to make some sort of tweak or an adjustment to our programming.
So as we're speaking right now, how have your protocols changed with the hotline and remote services? And what does staffing look like at your shelter right now, or even residents? Do you have to limit or adjust how you're spreading people out in rooms and things of that nature?
Yeah, first for the remote advocacy, some changes are specifically with our youth, what our youth advocates have to do. So it can be, it's really hard to do a phone session with a four-year-old, for example. You know, it's hard to sit still. It's not their usual environment that they're used to. So talking about trauma, not away from, you know, their home environment can cause some problems. So we have to figure out ways to stay connected to our youngest clients. For the school age kids that we were working with, you know, everything is online right now. So they're almost on technology overload. And so for them talking, sitting and talking on the phone with their advocate or counselor is also a little challenging, but we're trying to figure out ways to work through that. With shelter, hotline just operates 24/7, 365. With shelter, we need to find out if people have traveled to any of the high-risk countries. You know, we're asking about health condition, but we are not using that as a means to screen people out by any measure. We just need to know what we're dealing with and how staff and the rest of the residents need to operate. So we are doing room spacing. We're doing, we're operating with a smaller staff as well. So we have a lot of cleaning and safety and social distancing protocols in shelter. And we've also had to come up with a whole lot more activities for our families and kids who are living with us to do. And, you know, so far that's okay. It still is a lot of stress and strain on our clients and also for the staff. But shelter remains open and functioning. And if someone does not have, you know, if someone is in a dangerous relationship and they have the ability to call us or call the police and they need a safe place to stay, you know, the shelter is open.
I imagine there's a new challenge of privacy if a domestic violence victim is trying to reach out to get help, but perhaps their living situation is something where they aren't afforded many opportunities to speak privately away from others.
Well, exactly. And that's what can pose a really big risk. So there's a few things that we do know. We know that the measures that are in place for social distancing and isolation are critically important. And we also know that provides an opportunity for abusers to really unleash more violence. And because domestic violence is rooted in power and control, right now, so many people are feeling that lack of control over our lives. And for individuals who don't have strong coping mechanisms or can manage with that, they'll take it out on their victim, including children. So it has been pretty difficult. I mean, you know, imagine if you're already sleeping with one eye open to begin with, because you're living in a high state of anxiety from abuse and violence and trauma, and then now trying to manage that during a global pandemic and escaping by going to work or seeing friends or family is not an option right now. For victims to be able to find privacy in their home to even call a hotline is very challenging. And some of our conversations even are different on the hotline now, where we used to talk about safety planning and safe places to go. Now we're saying, where's the safest place to go in your home? Or what we have to talk about with children and finding a safe place to hide, dialing 911 and what to say, you know, things like that. One thing is that, so the National Domestic Violence Hotline has said that calls to hotlines around the country have dropped a little bit. And, you know, that's not because domestic violence is down. That's because people cannot actually physically call for help. So that's, you know, something that's really concerning. And I feel like the only way that we can really try to address that is we need as many people as possible to know what resources and what programs and shelters are open in their communities and in their neighborhoods, and have that information handy so that they can make a ready referral. And we need neighbors to check on neighbors. And, you know, it's a community-wide issue that we need all the help that we can get right now.
So you mentioned that calls have been going down to hotlines, but even the United Nations Secretary General cited a sharp rise in domestic violence amid this global coronavirus lockdown and has called on governments around the world to make addressing the issue as a part of their response to this pandemic. So in your opinion, what does integrating a response on the federal or state or local level look like outside of what you guys are doing at the Women's Center for your clients or the people you can reach out to?
That's a good question. I think, of course, resources, right? But it goes beyond resources. I think space. We have a lot of shelters. We have a lot of domestic violence shelters and homeless shelters throughout Wisconsin. Everyone is maxed out with space. And if we eventually start to see the aftermath of isolation and quarantining in abusive households, we might not have enough space. So, you know, problem solving around that and everything around domestic violence requires confidentiality, privacy, and safety. So I actually don't know that I have a good answer for that. You know, we appreciate the opportunity to apply for various loans and emergency fund grants, and that's one component of what would need to be addressed. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows, including domestic violence, sexual assault providers, what the magnitude of violence that is going on behind closed doors right now. We don't, you know, we could speculate that it's a lot, but the volume and the sheer trauma is pretty alarming. You know, we're really concerned about that. And so I mean, that's a really great question. I don't have a really good answer for you. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Well, and it's hard because you mentioned you are speculating that domestic violence incidents are on the rise, but right now there's no numbers or indicators to have the data to back that up. But you know, just based on your experience, that it's increasing, right?
Right. I mean, there is no way that it is declining because people are isolated, home together, working it out. You know, I mean, there may be an instance here and there, but overall, during a situation like this where there's already high stress, high anxiety, we have clients that, you know, they're not sure where their next meal is going to come from. They're not sure how they're going to get to where they need to go to, you know, get food. Transportation is extremely limited. I mean, it's all of the systems and safety systems that were in place outside of a global pandemic have all been really compromised for obvious and understandable reasons. We just don't have a lot of recourse right now with how to keep families safe.
I'm curious about how this pandemic impacts advocacy and legal services. You know, are courtrooms still carrying on, things of that nature, when it comes to the legal issues surrounding domestic violence?
Yeah, so, you know, in Waukesha County, courts are open. It's just a lot slower. Scheduling looks a lot different. It's a little quieter. So that's, for our legal advocates, that's been a lot of what calls that we've been addressing is, what does it mean for their protective orders that were in place? What does it mean for custody arrangements that they had in place, or safe exchange, or any pending criminal justice needs? I think Milwaukee County has done a great job by moving, for instance, restraining orders filing to online. That's a great idea. I just don't know that all counties and communities are able to do that. The legal component is a little bit more difficult. So I know that we're over the phone walking people through how to file for a restraining order, things like that. But, you know, really everything has been compromised, right?
Yeah.
Law enforcement is compromised. Criminal justice is compromised. And again, we completely understand that, and that it's all necessary to keep a community healthy. It's just the dichotomy of keeping the community healthy, knowing that there's a huge segment that are not going to be well or safe or healthy due to trauma.
So what's your recommendation of steps to follow for anyone who may be experiencing domestic violence or knows of someone or has an indication that perhaps someone they know is dealing with this during the Safer at Home order?
Well, I would say identify safe areas in your house, and similar to what we would do with safety planning. So try not to back yourself into a room with one exit, like a bathroom. Or a kitchen, or be mindful of rooms where there are things that can be weaponized, like scissors and kitchen knives. We encourage people to be aware of their surroundings, keep their phone charged at all times, keep their keys handy, consider who could be a safe person outside of their home. So if it's family, friends, a coworker, maybe set up keywords, code words. If they're doing a lot of like visual chatting, could be gestures and signals. You know that there are, know that domestic violence hotlines and shelters are open, and specifically in the greater Milwaukee area. And if anybody gets any chance to call a hotline to do so, I would say for children, teaching children to not get involved, but to find a safe place to hide. Again, we can teach children how to dial 911 and what to say. We talk about with children also safety words and code words and gestures. You know, those are some of the basic things. I mean, a lot of our clients who had safety plans and goals in place prior to the pandemic, I mean, have had to make tweaks and adjustments, you know, to their safety plan because changes in routines have been altered. So that means safety measures and planned activities need to be reconsidered. But we would really like for people to know who are struggling right now in an abusive environment that they're not alone, and there are organizations like the Women's Center that we're open and we're ready to help as best we can.
Angela Mancuso is the executive director of the Women's Center. During the Safer at Home order, the center continues to provide free and confidential support to adults and children through teleadvocacy, crisis response, emergency shelter, and a 24-hour hotline. You can get help or support survivors by connecting at twcwaukesha.org or by calling their 24-hour hotline at 262-542-3828. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.